Do you ever feel like you're always on? Your phone is blowing up with notifications, you have commitments to friends and family, and not to mention work. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. It's a crisp and refreshing beer that even tells you it's cold when the mountains on the bottles and cans turn blue. When I need to hit reset, I grab a Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hello, Marlins fans, and welcome to a brand new episode of Swings and Mishes. Before I get into all the action with Craig, stick with me for just a minute here as I tell you about our new sponsor, TicketRev. I think you're really going to like them. TicketRev is the first ever reverse marketplace for event tickets. So what that means is this. Buyers go on to TicketRev.com and create bids on events by simply choosing their preferred seating location and naming their offer price. Sellers are then able to see those bids and accept a bid matching the ticket's location and sell instantly. No more having to list on StubHub, Facebook, or wherever else for tickets to games or concerts. So there's advantages for both parties here. If you're the seller, you get not only a better commission than the rest of those sites, but you can sell your tickets instantly. You never have to list them on sale again. And if you're the buyer, you now have increased flexibility. You can choose your seat and you can name your price. It's better ticket deals, and buyers finally can help determine their own pricing. Plus, we have a deal for you right now. A promo code on TicketRev.com. And that promo code, as always, is SWINGS. So all you need to do is go to TicketRev.com. That's TicketRev.com. And use the promo code SWINGS for $20 off your first bid. That's $20 off your next tickets to a Marlins game. Guys, that pays for parking itself. Just go to TicketRev.com and use our promo code SWINGS. And we'll see you out there at Lone Depot Park. Now, let's get to the podcast. Hello, baseball fans, and welcome back to another episode of Swings and Mishes. I am your co-host and producer, Jeremy Taché, joined by, as Ethan Badowski introduced him the other day, the man, the Mish, the legend, Craig Mish, here on Swings and Mishes. How you doing today, Craig?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. It's great to be with you. I think we have three of these left during the regular season. Maybe we'll do a postseason recap of some kind, but we're coming down to the wire. A few weeks left. Pirates and Marlins scintillating series this weekend at Marlins Park. Not many good seats still available from what I understand this weekend. But yeah, that's we're kind of down the stretch here. But at the list, we've seen some fun stuff over the last week or so. So we'll get into it.
Yeah, just about 9 home games left in this season, which is pretty crazy to be here at this point after this stretch of the season. And strangely enough, you know, despite some of the struggles the Marlins have had, this has been one of their best stretches since early May. They've won 5 of their last 7 series, including against some division opponents where they've sort of tried to play spoiler. What have you seen on the field from the Marlins over the last few weeks?
Well, I think that, you know, we're back to talking about Sandy pretty much at the top of every single one of these podcasts, of just how good he has been, and he just continues start after start. Amazing. To just have his best pitching performances of his life, I'm guessing, and his career over the last month or so. So he is definitely closing out the season very, very strong, and we'll see where the contract negotiations, if any, go in the offseason. They're not talking now about anything, so we'll wait and see in a couple weeks where that goes. But I think that the most positive development since we talked last is probably Jesus Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Jesus has homered a lot in September and has looked like he should be manning one of the corner outfield spots for the Marlins to start the season. Now, obviously, September is foolish sometimes. You can really get fooled, and some of these home runs he has hit have been against subpar teams. That is true. But there's no question that his power does look legitimate.
Yep.
And the other thing that I would say about him that is really interesting is that he's had a really hard time, even going back to when he was with the Rays, staying healthy. And he's been healthy for the most part this season. I think that that is a very significant development for him outside of the COVID issue that kept him out for a few weeks. But to me, I feel pretty comfortable when people ask me, hey, what do you think about Sanchez starting in left field or right field? I don't think his defense is great, but I think it's serviceable enough. But mm-hmm. I do feel like if you told me opening day next year, he's batting sixth, he's in left field, I would be okay with it. I think right. that's a development that I wasn't sure about a month ago.
Sure.
But I think you can take what he's doing now and try and carry that over into next year. So that to me is probably the number one thing of all. And the one thing that I'm probably watching the most as we go down the stretch here, Jeremy.
Yeah, you and I spoke about this sort of a few weeks ago, going into the final couple of months. What was there to look for? At the time, we were saying specifically it was Jesus Sanchez and Jazz Chisholm Jr. and watching them the rest of the year. You see other young guys come up as well and participate in that. And one guy who we haven't seen on the field for the Marlins during this stretch, he's been out since September 5th now, it's Jesus Aguilar. He's been out with that knee inflammation. Craig, what's the update on Jesus Aguilar?
Yeah, we reported in the Herald earlier this week that he's not going to come back this season. The only thing that remains questionable at this point, And I believe the Marlins diagnosed this as inflammation. Mm-hmm. There have been some people who have hinted to me that it could be significantly more than that, meaning a torn meniscus or something along those lines. Now, I don't want to state that as factual because I don't know that to be factual at this point. But if this is the kind of injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season, then clearly it's far more extensive than just inflammation. So the question that has to be asked at this point is if Aguilar is going to have surgery, how long potentially that would keep him out and how deep into the postseason that would be. If it was sometime on it's not a simple meniscus tear, but if that was the case and he had the surgery, let's say next week or the week after that, I don't see any reason why come January he shouldn't be able to be on both feet and hitting and fielding. Mm-hmm. Which would put him in line for potential spring training. But again, you now have two players for sure that I would tell you that if he undergoes surgery, you cannot just blanketly assume that the first day of spring training, they'll be out there fielding and hitting. Brian Anderson also had successful surgery earlier this week. And the Marlins have said publicly that they expect him to be ready for spring training. I can tell you that, if he gets in spring training games at some point midway through, to me, from what I understand, based on the recovery time, that would be a bonus. So let's hope for the best and hope that this rehab goes well for him. And then we'll just have to wait and see on Aguilar. Certainly, I am speculating on this. If Aguilar does not have any kind of surgery at all, there's nothing to talk about here.
Right.
Does beg a lot of questions. He's going to be basically off his feet when they go through salary arbitration. Coming up here in a couple of months. And that's another dynamic because certainly he's in his final year of arbitration and would stand to be close to a $10 million player. Given the fact that Miami didn't trade him at the deadline, it's pretty much, to me, safe to assume that they're going to tender him a contract. Because if they non-tendered him, that would be a blunder at the deadline to not move him because they could have got something back in return. So, in terms of surgeries, it's interesting because now you have Aguilar, you have Anderson, and you have Cooper.
Right.
And Cooper's timeline, I think, is faster now at this point. I think over the next month or two, he'll be ready to go. So those are the injured sort of dynamic players as to where we're at. And we'll just wait to see if Aguilar does have surgery or not.
And we've had so many conversations about what the Marlins need to do in the offseason with their roster. But that's sort of taking health into account. You always have to look at those things and say, all right, who's going to be ready come the start of that regular season? So it might have to alter some of those plans. But the guy we've seen at first base as a result of Jesus Aguilar being out, we've said it shouldn't probably have taken Jesus Aguilar being out to see this guy. But Lewin Diaz has finally come up. He's had about 30 at-bats since being called up from AAA for the Marlins. What have you seen in Lewin Diaz so far as a Marlin? He's had a couple of homers, a couple extra base hits over the last few games.
Yeah, not enough. I think they probably should have had him up earlier to give us a better indication. I'm not a huge guy in terms of September numbers. I've seen this happen too often to fall victim to it. But again, there are not 50 guys on every team now. There's only 28. So you would say that your best 28 are on the team now. With Aguilar out, Lewin's getting a chance to play. Seems to me he plays very good defense, and that's not something that they're going to have to worry about. Is it fair to say that you could just pencil him in at first base next year and assume a good offense? I don't know. I don't know that I could say that. I mean, he did have his best game of his career last week, right, or this week, where he hit two home runs. So that's a positive, but you know, it's not a position that I think that they intend to attack in the offseason. I do think either the combination of Diaz, Aguilar, Cooper, I would assume, right, two of them will be back. One will play first if there's a designated hitter, the other one will be the DH. And I would say that I'm also comfortable in if they decided to go with Lewin right out of the box and he's the first baseman, if their offseason is good beyond that, it's something, right, that I could live with. It just comes down to sort of what they do, because I would think if Lewin Diaz is the starting first baseman for the Marlins in 2022 and he's in the opening day lineup, Jeremy, he's got to be batting seventh or eighth,
right?
Or even ninth if there's a DH. Like, he's going to be at the bottom of their lineup to start the season, which, again, I'm okay with if all of the other chips fall into place. But he's another one that I'll be watching in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Because as we see Lewin start to produce here in September, as we see Jesus Sanchez continue to produce, and we talk about, you know, Jazz and Brian De La Cruz as we have conversations about other young guys who might be around the roster, it is all going to be indicative of what the rest of the offseason moves are, whether or not we are excited about those guys starting in their positions going into next season, because it takes placing this whole roster together. So it will be interesting to see.
If you don't have players on the field with the right skills, whether it's breakaway speed or elite playmaking ability, you're going to have a tough time winning. The same goes for your business. Indeed is a fast, simple way to make sure you're hiring MVPs. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through April 30th. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get on Team Shaq with WinBet. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WinBet sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
And that's all at the major league level for the Marlins. But Craig, last episode, we actually spoke a bit about the minor league advocate group that was sort of circulating on social media, and specifically with the Marlins. Do you have any update there for the Swings and Mishes listeners?
Yeah. I promised that when this happened a few weeks ago that I would follow up. And I find it interesting is that when we hear about a story, everyone freaks out, and on social media, everyone's going bananas. And then we have not heard a thing. It's like, it just kind of went away.
Right.
But I will not let, I mean, you guys have to trust me. I'm not going to I always follow up on things that are going on. And I can tell you that they have spoken with the Marlins. They've spoken with Jeff DeGroote, and I feel it, according to hearing both sides now from Miami side and the advocate side, I don't want to get into too many details because not a lot, I don't know a lot, but I can tell you that at the very least, that first step has been taken in terms of where I think things need to be. So does that mean this is resolved with the minor leagues and taking care of the kids and all that? No, it does not. But I would tell you that the Marlins, unlike a lot of other teams, have been receptive at the very least in opening up the conversation. We'll see where that goes. I hate to be in the middle of these sort of things, but, you know, I guess in the position that I am, sometimes I'm the one that, you know, finds myself in this spot. Hey, do you know this is going on? Why aren't you saying anything about it?
Right.
And I do take responsibility in that because I want to make sure that the right thing is being done. But certainly I don't control the advocates and I don't control the how the Marlins are choosing to do business. I think that to me, this is more of a Major League Baseball issue, taking care of their minor leaguers, than it really is a Marlins issue. But nonetheless, the first step has been taken. There has been contact made. From my knowledge, in terms of what they've been trying to accomplish, they've been trying to accomplish just simply getting people on the phone from the organizations to speak to them about the problem, and they have had no luck whatsoever. I can tell you that when I had my conversation with them, I told them specifically, hey, you may want to try and get in touch with the Marlins before you do anything else, because maybe you'll have a better experience here.
Right.
And I'm thankful to say that I was able to aid in that a little bit.
That's
I don't want
great.
To say that I did it, because that's not the case, but I was able to at least be a conduit, I feel like, in this situation. The two sides have talked. We'll see where it goes from there. I'm going to leave it at that.
That's just about all we can ask for when we talk about these types of conversations. So glad to know that those things are moving in the right direction. When we talk about the Marlins minor league system, it's not just the guys who were drafted, but it's also international signings. And there was some news within the Marlins this week as they relieved Marlins international scouting director Fernando Seganal of his duties in that role. Craig, what is going to happen with Fernando Seganal? Will he be within the organization in a different sort of role, or what's the deal here with Seganal in the Marlins?
Very well-liked individual, Fernando Seganal. I have come to know him for years. He's very easy to find sitting behind home plate at spring training yep. games. He's a yep. huge man. He's one of the biggest men on the baseball field that you'll come in contact next to. He is like the Aaron Judge of scouts, I guess.
Scouting.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. So I was a little sad to see this happen, but look, the Marlins have their reasons why they make the decisions. This is a handpicked individual that came over from the Yankees, virtue of Gary Denbo. So, Gary obviously has a very strong voice in the organization, and, you know, clearly there are some things that they feel they could do better in that position. I'm not entirely sure what those are, whether it is leadership or I just don't know the answer to it. I'm just simply speculating.
Sure.
But very clearly they want someone else doing what Seggy has been doing. Whether or not he's going to accept a different role in the organization, I don't know at this point. And I can also tell you that from my knowledge, I don't think that they really had an immediate replacement. Like, oh, we really want this guy and we got to get him now, so we got to demote Seggy. I don't think that was the case either. But there's a very big position in the organization, because international scouting is the wave of what you need to do to be successful on the field. The Marlins are on an even playing field essentially with all of these other teams,
right,
to be able to get the best kids from around the world, and they need to hammer it. Because when you're on an even playing field in terms of money, given those pools that you have in order to spend until they do a draft, which I think is coming soon, but until that happens, you basically have had full reign to do whatever you want. You just have to spend the money within the pool that you're allotted. And at least Miami has shown the effort. It's worked out a little, and some things have not worked out, as we know, with the international as well. So hopefully this works out for the Marlins, works out for Fernando Seganal, but clearly they'll have a new international scouting director, I would guess, by the end of the year. That'd be my guess.
Right. Yeah. Not very often that there are ways in which the Marlins are on an equal financial playing field with a team like the Yankees or the Red Sox or whatever. So that's where you have to take advantage. And so the Marlins are set to try to find a new way to do so. One sort of piece of breaking news toward the end here that we found out later here in the afternoon is that the Marlins are demoting second baseman, third baseman Eason Diaz. Craig, what are your initial thoughts on that news?
Yeah, so this is one of probably at least two or three moves that signals to me the end of the line of a player and his opportunities in the organization. I have been wrong many times before on these players. I do want to preface that.
Fair.
But to me, perhaps this does signal that. And to kind of take you back here, And I could even go back as far as when Eason was acquired in deal. These are really hard conversations to have because, you know, Eason is a very, very nice person. He is a nice kid. And it becomes difficult because you cover the players, you get to know them a little bit. And I personally try to force myself to keep distance with these guys because I know that the time is going to come where, you know, it could go bad. That's kind of what happened with him. You know, a very wonderful debut for him, hitting that home run off DeGrom. Like, I think that, you know, in the end, he'll always have that
forever.
He'll have that. Yeah, yep. That's a big one with his dad, you know, going crazy. It was a wonderful moment. I remember watching it live.
I'd almost trade that moment for like a 3 or 4 year mediocre career. Like, that moment was so great. You know,
it was great. And you know, nothing went well though after that. Mm-hmm. You know, like nothing. Like, he just poor. You know, really huge gaps in getting hits at both in spring training and at the major league level, like 0-for-20s and 0-for-30s, these runs of at bats where it's like a different player almost. Like, mm-hmm. like you can't even explain it. Like, Eason, why are you not swinging the bat? Like, it's so bizarre. Opting out during the COVID year, stuff going on there, and then getting hurt and coming back, and then going to winter ball, opting out. They're like just a very odd course of events, mm-hmm. I would say, for him over the 2 or 3 years. And does this now? I mean, look, he has not hit at all at the big league level. So does this now signal the end of his time potentially with the Marlins? I mean, he's played a very admirable defensive third base.
Yep.
And that is all I can say. There has been nothing else in terms of positive that I could add to that. He has proven he could play multiple positions defensively. Is that worth something to another organization or even Miami to take a shot on? Maybe. I don't know the answer to that. But it would be best for him and honestly some others on the team to get to a new home, mm-hmm. get in front of some new eyes. You know, maybe somebody can figure something out with them offensively and figure that stuff out. But it just did not work for Eason in Miami. And I would guess though, at this point, you know, that's kind of the end of the line there. Now, the flip side that, you know, everybody obviously wants to talk about today here on the show is that why Eason is no longer here. And the answer to that is, you know, the Marlins are going to see Peyton Henry, the kid who they acquired in the trade for John Curtis. And Peyton Henry is going to get his first opportunity behind the plate and make his first career start tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, I kind of feel like maybe that's what we should have started off with.
Maybe.
But it's all fluid as we go, Jeremy. So that's kind of the way that it is. So Peyton Henry, getting your first look at him tonight.
All right. We get a new look behind the dish. It'll be interesting to see him. Hey, another acquisition from Milwaukee, right? Full circle here.
Yeah.
One acquisition from Milwaukee,
in and one out.
Yeah. One Milwaukee in, one Milwaukee out. All right. So Peyton Henry behind the dish, Eason Diaz now demoted. Craig, any final thoughts, news, notes, anything before we do wrap up this episode of Swings and Mishes headed into the last extended homestand of Miami Marlins baseball this season?
Yeah, we're coming down to the end here, certainly. And I got my eyes on college football with Florida and Alabama on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But what I would encourage you to do this weekend is, first of all, I would never advocate rooting for another team. Okay. I may be cynical, but I'm not telling you to root for the Pirates. Okay, please.
Okay.
But what I would say is that if you are interested at all watching on television or going in person, you have a catcher on the other side of the field this weekend with the Pirates who I am a fan of. And I know those of you watch highlights and you know, you see and you look at stats and that's the way, you know, people watch baseball. Listen, analytics or just looking at the numbers. I get it. I would invite you to take a look at this player. And you saw him play the last time they played against Miami and you saw how well he played. Just forget all that stuff. watch this catcher and watch how he catches and get back to me either on social media, email, or somewhere else. You tell me what you think. Is this the catcher the Marlins should be pursuing? They're going to have to give up a lot if they do. But is this the catcher that you think the Marlins should pursue in the offseason? Maybe you think they should. Maybe you think they shouldn't. But you're getting your firsthand look this weekend, right? So yeah. Two of the three games, he's probably going to be catching. Jacob Stallings, there's your chance to watch him this weekend. And then, Jeremy, you and I will be back next week, one more week, and then we will call it a season.
Yes, we will. And you can also take a look at Brian Reynolds in center field, huh? Go look at those Pittsburgh Pirates, right?
Hey, right.
As we wrap up this episode, I do want to say, I know we're wrapping down this season. Thank you so much to everyone who has been listening to every episode of Swings and Misses this year. And I will say, and this is just a personal aside, but a number of Swings and Misses fans who I know are Swings and Misses fans have been incredibly supportive of my new project over at Bally with Miami Mic'd Up. And I'm so thankful for that, and thankful to you, Craig, that you have sent them that direction. So thank you, everyone, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend watching the Miami Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates.